So we are trying to continue with our study on the subject of love and the parts of it, the love of God, and specifically that love is kind. That is one of the parts of the love of God, kindness. And in our first lesson on this, the first of what is to be a two-part lesson on kindness. In the first one, we were looking at definitions of the words, and we looked at scriptures in the Old and the New Testaments about that. We noted that kindness is a rare quality to find in mankind. It is an integral part of the nature of God, but there are few people that have that in them, but all Christians should, and that's why we're studying that, and that's one of the things that we are striving to have more of in our own hearts. And we looked at God's nature and His kindness and some of the applications of that towards us in different ways. And so we begin tonight by now transitioning to look at ourselves and how we need to be followers of God, of course, as we should be in everything. And in everything that's in God, we need to strive to have in us, but kindness is certainly one of those things. As we are seeking to have God's love perfected in us, that is, we need to have His love completed in us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 mentions that, as does 1 John 4:12. We need to have the love of God perfected in us, completed in us. We need to have all of its parts. We need to be lacking in none of the things that is of God's nature and of His love. As we saw in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4, that great chapter about the love of God, he starts it by saying, love suffers long and is kind. So we already saw long suffering. That was the first part of God's love that we studied about. And kindness is mentioned as being another one of those parts of God's love. And God is kind. We need to be kind. So we should be kind like God is. Now, this should be part of our motivation in doing His will. When we turn to the book of Exodus in chapter 20, and this is when he gave this is the chapter in which he gave the Ten Commandments, this is also repeated in Deuteronomy 5. But in Exodus chapter 20, when we look at verses 1 through 6, it says, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me and showing mercy." And that word translated mercy here in our King James Version is the Hebrew word for kindness, as we saw in a lot of the Psalms about God's loving kindness. That's the word there in Exodus 20 and verse 6, where God is showing His kindness unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So as He's given the first two of the Ten Commandments, He puts that in there. As we see it repeated, as mentioned in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 10, when he is repeating the Ten Commandments in that chapter. So God puts that emphasis there as he's giving these Ten Commandments to the children of Israel. And of course, he gave many more than just those ten, but this is the foundation of the law. These are the ones that God himself wrote on those tables of stone. But as he was giving that, he was reminding them that he's going to show his kindness to those who love God and keep his commandments. Of course, if we love God, we are going to keep his commandments. But should it be a motivation to us to obey the Lord and keep His commandments, knowing that we will receive the Lord's kindness for doing so? Well, that's another reason why and another motivation we can have for serving the Lord in doing His commands, keeping His commandments. We should also do what is good towards our enemies, even our enemies. That's a part of the love of God, too. Because God is kind to His enemies. And that's mentioned in Luke 6 and verse 35, the Sermon on the Plain. Luke 6, 35, Jesus said, "But love ye your enemies, and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest, for He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil." So God is kind to his enemies. So the kindness that's in God, he shows to his children. He also shows to his enemies. But we need to have that same kindness in us. And it should be manifest towards one another. And that's something we want to go into in more detail here in the next few minutes. But we can see that God also expects and requires of us to have the kindness in us that he does in also demonstrating that towards our enemies. So we need to love our enemies and do good to them. Well, we noted that the Lord said that kindness is a rare thing in Romans 3:12 that we saw last time. He's quoting from the Old Testament, the Psalms, and says, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." That good is the Greek word for kindness. There's none that's kind. As God's looking at the world, he finds kind to be a very rare quality among men. As we saw also in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, and that's the word kindness, but a faithful man who can find. It's rare to find somebody who's kind. Well, when we see this aspect of kindness, how many people are willing to lend to someone hoping for nothing in return? Just as one example, try that at a bank. Of course, we know that's not gonna, the world doesn't work that way, does it? You're not going to find kindness in a bank. You're not going to find kindness in the world in general. You don't find people doing that, but you find God doing that all the time. That's his nature, and it needs to be ours. We need to show that towards our enemies, and there's a lot more in that applications of that in Luke 6 as well as in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. For us to learn from and to see how God's love is expressed even towards his enemies, that we can be like him in that way. Well, one of the great principles about the kindness of God that we need to keep in mind that should help us to be able to demonstrate that towards others, to have that in our hearts to be able to demonstrate that towards others as God does to us, is the principle of reciprocation. That is, we need to show kindness to those that are kind to us. We need to be kind to those who aren't, as we just saw, but especially people that are kind to us, we have an obligation to show kindness to them. And it's interesting to see how many times that comes up in Scripture, in the Old and the New Testaments. This is obviously a major point with the Lord, so it's something that should be very well ingrained in our own understanding and something that we need to be putting into practice in our lives. God operates by this principle, and so we must also. In 2 Samuel 22, 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 26, speaking about God and his nature and the way that God operates, it says, "With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful." Now, that's true of the subject of mercy, and we have a lot of scriptures where he uses the word for mercy, and there's a close relationship between mercy and kindness. But we see that also used with the word mercy. It's translated that way here. This is the same Hebrew word that literally means kindness. But God is merciful to those who are merciful. He's kind to those who are kind. And he says, "With the upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright." So we see that God is going to demonstrate those things towards those who practice those things. Forgiveness is another one. We see a lot of these aspects of God's nature, the parts of his love, as he expresses, especially towards those who have those things and demonstrate that towards others. So the more kind we are to others, the more kindness we're going to receive from God. So that's yet another motivator for us to be kind like God is. He says that also again in Psalm 18:25 when he's using the word kindness, as he translates it, is translated merciful in the King James Version in Psalm 18 and verse 25 also. And in Proverbs 14:22, he says, "Do they not err that devise evil, but mercy," and that's the word for kindness, "and truth shall be to them that devise good." And Psalm 62:12, "Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. For thou renderest to every man according to his work." And again, that's the word, literally the word for kindness there. So we see that brought up over and over again. New Testament, we see it also there. Romans 11 and verse 22. Romans 11, 22, he says, "Behold, therefore, the goodness," and that's the Greek word for kindness, "the goodness and severity of God." on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. And all three times in Romans 11:22, that's the word for kindness there, which we can understand as he's showing God's nature as it's expressed in judgment. This is the opposite of severity in judgment. Well, do you want to be treated severely or kindly? Well, in every situation, we want to be treated kindly by everybody, and especially by God, don't we? Well, if we are going to continue in God's kindness, then we need to show that towards others, because God is going to demonstrate that and show that to those who are kind to others. Let's look at some examples of those who did show kindness to those who were kind to them and were rewarded by the Lord for it and received the Lord's kindness, and those many examples of people who returned evil to ones and did not show kindness to ones who were kind to them, and they received the Lord's severity for that and did not receive his kindness. Genesis chapter 40. This is one of the very clear examples of this that we can see. Genesis chapter 40. This is concerning the chief butler of Pharaoh. And this is at a time when Joseph was put in prison. Of course, Joseph was in prison not because he was guilty of any crime. He was put in prison because he fled from the advances of his master Potiphar's wife. And so then he was falsely accused by her, and then he was put in prison. So as he was literally fleeing from wickedness, he got accused falsely of doing wickedly and then got put in prison. And so God, of course, showed favor to Joseph with the keeper of the prison. And then Joseph, it wasn't long before Joseph was really in charge of the prison. But he did not obtain his freedom at that point. But as we read in Genesis 40, starting in verse 1, it says, "It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man in his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, Do not interpretations belong to God? Now notice he doesn't say, Do not interpretations belong to me. Joseph was not going to take credit for that at all, because that was from the Lord. But he knew that the Lord gave that to him as a prophet of the Lord, and would so in this case too. And so he says, Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler, in verse 9, told his dream to Joseph and said to him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him, it says in verse 23. What Joseph prophesied about him exactly came to pass, but his plea for this man to show kindness to Joseph, it was not returned. And he forgot Joseph and didn't mention him to Pharaoh. So that was not a good situation. And later, the man recognized that he was at fault for that. In the next chapter, Genesis 41 and verse 1, it says, It came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And that's when he had the dream of the cows, the fat ones and the skinny ones, 7 of each. And that was concerning the coming of the 7 years of plenty followed by 7 years of famine. And Joseph gave the interpretation of that dream. Of course, God did through Joseph to Pharaoh of what that meant. And they were able to store up food during the years of plenty so that Egypt was spared from the severity of that famine. And so Joseph was rewarded by Pharaoh and brought out of prison, was made then ruler over all Egypt under only Pharaoh. So God, after 2 years more of Joseph being imprisoned, took care of Joseph and got him out of the prison. But in verse 9 of Genesis 41, it then spoke, and this was at the time when Pharaoh had his dream and did not have an interpreter. And it says, "Then spoke the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day." And so he remembered after 2 years that he had not shown kindness to Joseph, when Joseph had showed him kindness by giving him the interpretation of his dream that led to him being restored to his position. So he acknowledged that he was at fault for that. But there, that was 2 years more of Joseph being in prison. And so this was a man that did not return the kindness that Joseph had shown to him. Well, it took 2 years for him to remember to do it. But we shouldn't be like that, of course. We need to be kind to those who are kind to us and not forget that when someone does something good towards us. In Psalm 106, verse 7, the Israelites didn't reciprocate God's kindness at the Red Sea. Well, what had God done with them in Egypt? God delivered them out of their bondage in Egypt. Peter was preaching on that last Sunday night at this time. And all the things that God did for Israel through Moses at that time, with the 10 plagues that were brought upon the Egyptians that the Israelites were spared from. And then he parted the Red Sea and led them through and saved them from the Egyptians and destroyed the Egyptians in the Red Sea. But in Psalm 106 and verse 7, it says, "Our fathers understood not thy wonders in Egypt. They remembered not the multitude of thy mercies," and that's the word for kindness, "but provoked him at the sea, even at the Red Sea." Was God not kind to Israel by delivering them out of their bondage? Was he not kind to them by saving them and then delivering them with all those miracles and through the Red Sea and then destroying their enemies as he did with the Egyptians there? But did they remember the kindness that God had shown to them? They didn't remember it, but instead provoked him to anger. Even while they were there at the Red Sea, I mean, before he parted it, after the 10 plagues, when they were delivered by the Egyptians, when they were told to let go, and then they gave them all their wealth and said, "Go." And what is the first thing they do when the Egyptians start pursuing? Are they thinking, "Well, here's this army coming, this mighty Egyptian army, but look what God just did to them to get us out of here. He's going to take care of us now." He didn't deliver us out of that so that we could end up being destroyed at the banks of the Red Sea. But they were not thinking properly at all. They didn't have faith, and that was their problem. But they did not remember God's kindness, and they should have. So we need to remember God's kindness first and foremost. But we also need to remember those who are kind to us, people that are too. Israel also did not reciprocate God's kindness that he had shown to them when he delivered them from their enemies under Gideon, as another example of this in Judges chapter 8, Judges 8, 33 through 35. "And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baalberith their god. And the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side, neither showed they kindness to the house of Jerubbaal, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel." So they didn't remember God's kindness to them because it was God's work through Gideon. But then they also didn't remember the kindness that Gideon had shown. Well, Gideon had yielded himself to be used by God. If somebody's kind to us, and I've heard somebody say this before, when somebody did something for them, this is a number of years ago, and they said, "Well, I don't owe you any thanks. It was God that did it through you." Well, that's true. God's the one that uses people to do good things. But when somebody is being willing to be used by God to do something good for you, I mean, are we only thankful to God and remember His kindness through them, or do we also need to remember the kindness of the ones who do good to us as they're serving the Lord? Well, we should remember that. And they didn't with Gideon, as the Lord points that out right there. So he's making a point of the fact that they did not return that kindness that Gideon had shown to them after he was dead. Joash did not return Jehoiada's kindness. This is Joash, who was king of Judah. He had been saved from his grandmother Athaliah, who was trying to destroy the seed royal so that she could rule as queen. What kind of woman would be willing to kill her own grandchildren so that she could be the sole ruler of anything? Well, that was Athaliah. Of course, she was of the house of Ahab, so we can understand what she had been taught there, but that was the problem. But anyway, Jehoiada, the high priest, had saved Joash along with his wife. They hid him in the temple for 7 years and then brought him out, and he was made king. And then from that point onward, Jehoiada guided him. So he brought him up, saved his life, and then taught him about God and the ways of the Lord and how to be righteous. And all those things Jehoiada did for Joash. But then Jehoiada died, and then Joash immediately turned away from the Lord when Jehoiada died. And Jehoiada's son was a prophet. Now, if we think about this, this was Jehoiada's own son, but Joash was brought up in Jehoiada's house as Jehoiada's son. And his mother, Jehoiada's wife, the mother, Jehoiada's wife was the that brought helped bring up Joash, was the sister of the king of Joash's father, Ahaziah, king of Judah. So that was his aunt. So he's actually brought up by his aunt and uncle. So even though the son of Joash would have been his first cousin, it was really like his brother. He was brought up in the same house, like his own brother. Well, he was the prophet, and when Jehoiada died, then Jehoiada's son comes to Joash, sent by God, to rebuke him for turning away from the Lord when Jehoiada died. So what does Joash do? Now it says in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 22, "Thus Joash the king remembered not the kindness which Jehoiada his father had done to him, but slew his son. And when he died, he said, 'The Lord look upon it and require it.'" So he killed his own cousin, which was essentially his brother, who had done what? Told him the truth, the word of God. And he had been brought up with this one and brought up by Jehoiada. And so the Lord makes mention of the fact that Joash didn't remember the kindness of Jehoiada. If for no other reason, whatever Jehoiada's son, if Jehoiada's son had done wickedly, should Joash had been very long-suffering and be very kind to someone of Jehoiada's household, given all that Jehoiada had done for him, that would still apply if Jehoiada's son had been someone who was wicked. But he was righteous, a prophet of the Lord, only speaking the truth, and he still forgot the kindness of Jehoiada and killed his son, a prophet of God. So that is another point that the Lord is emphasizing there, as Joash forgot that kindness. And Judas, we all know about him. One of the reasons that he was cursed by God was but for not returning kindness. Psalm 109, which is a psalm that is actually a prophecy of Judas. In verse 12, he says, "Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children." And then we ask the reason, well, why would God put that curse on Judas, that he would not receive any kindness, and that his children wouldn't receive it when he died? Verse 16, "Because that he remembered not to show mercy," and that's the word for kindness, "but persecuted the poor and needy man, that he might even slay the broken in heart." Well, we can even remember what he was angry about that led him to go to commit that act of betrayal against Jesus, when that costly ointment was used to anoint Jesus, and then Judas said that that could have been sold and given to the poor, and he said that not because he cared for the poor, but because he kept the bag. And so if it had been sold, that money would have been in the bag that he had possession of, and then he would have taken some of that money. Well, who would he have been taking that money from? I mean, if it really had been, if that ointment had been sold for the money to be given to the poor, and then Judas steals part of it because he was a thief, then who's he actually stealing from? I mean, he was stealing from the poor and needy, but that was not just, of course, that was just in a theoretical case there, but we can read here that that's what he did. He was a thief, and who did he steal from? Well, that's who he stole from, because anything that Christ and the apostles would have had of material goods, they would have been using it to help others. And so anything Judas would have been taken from someone who had need of it. But he didn't show kindness to the poor and the needy man. And so God put a curse on him that he would receive no kindness, and that his children, who would be fatherless, would not either. So that's a demonstration of how important that is in the Lord's sight, that we show kindness to those, to others. And if we forget it, God is not going to be pleased with us. Rahab is a good example. She showed kindness to the spies that came to her in Jericho, and when they returned with the army of Israel, what happened to Rahab and her family? Was her kindness to the spies, was it remembered and reciprocated? It was, and that was something, again, that the Lord points out. In verse 12, Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, as Rahab hid those spies on her roof by her faith, it says, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that you will also show kindness unto my father's house and give me a true token, and that you will save alive my father and my mother and my brethren and my sisters and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." So that was her plea, that her kindness would be remembered and that she and her family would receive that kindness in return when the Israelites came into the city and Jericho would fall. Well, that, of course, happened. And when Jericho fell in Joshua chapter 6, in verse 25, it says, "And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive and her father's household and all that she had, and she dwells in Israel even unto this day because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." But what was one of the main reasons that she was saved then? Well, it was because she had shown kindness out of her faith in God to those Israelites, and that kindness was returned to her. So it was not forgotten by those spies or by Joshua, and certainly not forgotten by God himself. Another case that we can see in the book of Judges with Israelite spies concerning a man from Bethel. Let's turn to Judges chapter 1 and read verses 23 through 26. It says, "And the house of Joseph sent to describe Bethel," now the name of the city before was Luz, "and the spies saw a man come forth out of the city, and they said unto him, Show us, we pray thee, the entrance into the city, and we will show thee mercy," and that's the word for kindness there. "And when he showed them the entrance into the city, they smote the city with the edge of the sword, but they let go the man and all his family, and the man went into the land of the Hittites and built a city and called the name thereof Luz, which is the name thereof unto this day." Well, that was one right thing that those people did. There was a lot they didn't, but at least in that case, they did similarly to what the Israelites had done with Rahab. So that was really identical to that situation. The Kenites, which were descendants of Moses' father-in-law, showed kindness to the Israelites, their kindness to the Israelites was returned to them in 1 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 6. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 6. It says, "And Saul said unto the Kenites, Go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites." Now, Saul was not one that always practiced kindness, and that's putting it charitably there. But in this case, he did remember the kindness that the Kenites had shown to the Israelites, and they were spared from those ones that were in that land where the Amalekites were, and they were spared from that destruction of the Amalekites at that time, even though Saul didn't completely obey the Lord in that commandment. He did do right with that part to spare the Kenites, who had shown kindness to the children of Israel when they had come up out of Egypt. They had given them provisions, and so their kindness was remembered. But you see how many times when we see kindness demonstrated by someone or a group of people in Scripture, how God makes it a point that that kindness should be remembered by the ones that they had shown kindness to. And God operates by that principle. Another example, the men of Jabesh-Gilead, concerning bodies of Saul and Jonathan. This was remembered by the Lord and by David later. In 1 Samuel chapter 31, 8 through 13, it says, "It came to pass on the morrow when the Philistines came to strip the dead, the slain," it says, they found Saul and his three sons fallen in Mount Gilboa, and they cut off his head and stripped off his armor and sent into the land of the Philistines round about to publish it in the house of their idols and among the people. And they put his armor in the house of Ashtaroth, and they fastened his body to the wall of Bethshan. Now what a shame that was that happened there. And so it tells us then in verse 11, when the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead heard of that which the Philistines had done to Saul, all the valiant men arose and went all night and took the body of Saul and the bodies of his sons from the wall of Bethshan and came to Jabesh and burnt them there. And they took their bones and buried them under a tree at Jabesh and fasted 7 days. Now in 2 Samuel in chapter 2, verse 5, David sent messengers to the men of Jabesh-Gilead and said unto them, "Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you, and I will also requite you this kindness because you've done this thing." In this word, we can see how many times it is translated kindness, but that's the word that was translated merciful in a lot of those other references, and I mentioned that it's actually the word for kindness. Well, here in several of these references that we're reading now, it's translated kindness. They showed kindness to the house of Saul, and that was remembered towards them by David and by the Lord. We need to especially reciprocate the kindness that is shown to us in our own family. Those are the people that we, of course, spend the most time with from when we're born into this world. We're born into a family, generally, aren't we? And we have parents that take care of us and that raise us. We have siblings that we grow up next to. Of course, there's lots of temptation there because the ones that we're closest to growing up like that, the devil tries to get us to have fights and do things that are not godly. So that's something that we have to resist and overcome. But within our own families that we grow up in, we have so many opportunities to show kindness to our family because those are the ones we're with the most. The kindness that we receive in our family, we should be demonstrating that there, but what we receive, we also need to remember, and we have a duty to do that. We have an example in the Old Testament, another one that involves Joseph with his brothers towards their father Jacob when he died, honoring his burial request in Genesis 47. In verse 29, it says, "The time drew nigh that Israel must die, and he called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt." And so in Genesis 50, verses 12 and 13, it says, "His sons did unto him according as he commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave of the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephron the Hittite before Mamre." So they did honor their father and returned the kindness that, well, how much kindness had he shown to them in raising them, all of his sons? So that was a good deed they did to render that kindness back to him that they had been shown by their father. Mark chapter 7, in verses 9 through 13, when Jesus was dealing with these leaders of the Jews who had their traditions, and they were rebuking the Lord's disciples for not keeping the traditions of the elders. And so here's what Christ had to say about their traditions in Mark 7, 9 through 13. He said unto them, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition. For Moses said, Honor thy father and thy mother, and whoso curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, If a man shall say to his father or mother, It is Corban, that is to say, a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, he shall be free. And you suffer him no more to do aught for his father or his mother, making the word of God of none effect through your tradition which you have delivered. And many such like things do ye." Well, the Lord commanded that we honor our father and mother. Well, part of that extends, we have to obey them when we're in the house. But when do we ever stop honoring our father and mother? When are we released from that commandment to show honor to our parents? We're not. That's something, as we can see, that Joseph and his brothers continue to show honor to their father and return the kindness by honoring his request when he died. Honoring them while they're on the earth is absolutely required by God. Well, they had that tradition. They could give a lump sum of money to their parents to release themselves from all further obligations to do anything from them. Well, what would that do with God's commandment to honor their father and mother? That contradicted that commandment, and so they were rejecting God's commandment and making it of none effect by that tradition. But it's interesting to see that the example that Jesus used especially to show how they were using their traditions to make God's commandments of none effect was that one to honor their parents, where they were not remembering the kindness of their parents towards them. This is also brought up in 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5, 3 and 4. He says, "Honor widows that are widows indeed, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them first learn first to show piety at home and to requite their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God." And then in verse 8, he makes the statement, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." Who has the first obligation to take care of a widow? Is the first thing for that to be the church's burden or responsibility? No. First, it's her family. And that's literally the word for grandchildren, but children, grandchildren, well, any of the family members. I mean, that they were shown kindness by that woman. What do you do with your own mother? And so how much kindness did we receive in our lives from our mothers especially? And so to be mindful of that and to show them kindness when the Lord gives us opportunity to do that, especially if they get older and they have needs, that's a duty that God puts upon all of us. But that's a part of remembering the kindness, and that's the word he uses, requite their parents. That is to return that, to treat them accordingly to how they had treated you with that kindness and love. So that's a duty that God gives to us all. Another example of that, God showed kindness to Ruth in part because of the kindness that she showed to her husband and mother-in-law. We know how God blessed Ruth with the husband Boaz and then with the child that became part of became the ancestor of David and ultimately of Christ himself. So that was a great honor and kindness that God showed to Ruth, but a big part of that was based in the kindness that Ruth had shown to the ones who had been kind to her. And so that comes out in Ruth chapter 3 and verse 10. He said, "Blessed be thou the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich." Showing what Ruth had done, and God rewarded that. This is a characteristic of a virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 and verse 26. It says, "She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness." That's a great phrase that's there that should be in all of us. If that's what God desires to have in godly women, well, he wants the same thing in godly men too. He wants us all to have the law of kindness in our mouths. Now that's where we would be kind in heart to the point, of course, we're going to, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we're kind in heart, if that's where that's formed, that's going to come out in our mouths. But how kind should we be in our hearts to the point where it is a law that our tongue is going to speak kindness? That's a great way that the Lord puts that to show us what we need to be in heart so that we can be that way with the very words that we speak. And so we need to show that that kind of kindness towards one another. We got, like I said, I have stacks of papers here with other references. I wish we had time to look at each and every reference that's in the scriptures concerning kindness. But that is a major part of the love of God that we need to have in our hearts and show towards others. Even our enemies, but especially to those who show kindness to us, as God will reward that and show kindness to us when we are kind to others. Tonight is an opportunity for you if you are here this evening and need to become a child of God. If you are not one, well, you already have been on the receiving end of the kindness of God. First of all, that He gave His Son for you to die for your sins, as He did for all of us. He's also showing you kindness now to give you another opportunity to remember His kindness towards you, to then come to Him to repent and be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, so that you can show that you remember the Lord's kindness and do what His love constrains you to do. So are you ready to render that, or remember that kindness of God and serve Him as you should? This is an opportunity for you to become a Christian tonight. And we're encouraging you to come now if that is your need. If you are a Christian, if you have gone astray and need to return to Him, He's showing you kindness to give you this opportunity now to do that. And that is an opportunity that should not be wasted. Anyone that needs to respond to the Lord's invitation tonight, please come now while we stand together and sing.